It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it didn't go so well.
It didn't go well, no. Welcome into the First Midwest Bank studio.
I got up early for that.
Yeah, Lucas just said it. You heard him with Connor McKnight. Waddle was right away as we were sitting in the pre-show meeting. Waddle's like, ooh, it's only six. You still have two at-bats to go. It's a fun story. The Mercedes is throwing 80-something. You know what was funny? And you, I'll throw it to you. But you know, Tony La Russa in the post game could not stop complimenting his players for, quote, not giving up. Like the play that he mentioned specifically, Tim Anderson in the eighth, how there's a special group. They don't give up. They keep playing to the end. Now, there are a lot of good counters, and I'll get to them, but I'll let you set the table. You did trail. Six runs is not 10 to nothing. It is not 12 to nothing, and you still had two at-bats to go.
I qualify things in life, especially, let's call it in the world of sports, in different ways. Like, was that a felony? Was that a baseball felony? No, it wasn't a baseball felony, but it was a solid misdemeanor in my book. I mean, like, I said to you, I mean, I wasn't ranting or raving. I just said to you, they're tapping out now. Like, this team that is supposed to have one of the best offenses in all of Major League Baseball, you're down six. Like, I get it if you're down 10-1. I know that you've had to do some bullpen stuff. You had a 2 7-inning doubleheader games yesterday where everyone played well and you swept them.
Right.
Right. I mean, I didn't think the game, put it this way, I didn't think the game was over. At 10-4, I don't expect this White Sox team to not be able to come back at least in some way, shape, or form. That's just me. Like, I don't know what the stats will tell you. We're in the world of analytics that I'm sure they can give you a probability, a percentage of likelihood that someone will come back from 10-4, but I would suggest to you, like, every offense isn't the same. I just think that this White Sox team is a really good group. Abreu's not locked in, but Robert is. Some other guys aren't locked in. But you expect at some point that offense is just going to explode and they're going to be one of the better offensive groups in all of the American League. I just didn't think, even with two at-bats left, I didn't think the Sox were out of it at 10-4. Didn't look great.
Waddle says it wasn't a baseball felony, but it is a misdemeanor in his book. Yeah. What did you guys think? 312-332-3776.
What'd you think?
I also put it on the Twitter poll about, and it's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. I said, are you cool with him throwing a position player in the eighth, two at-bats left, down six? I agreed with you. I don't think I'm as, and you're not over the top,
no,
like, pounding your fist on the table. Like, there are some good discussions being up. Like, someone says, look at the statistics. What is the percentage of teams coming back down six from the seventh inning versus the percentage of time a real pitcher gets hurt pitching three innings? I'm going to say it's probably the latter. That's a higher likelihood, and that can cost you more games in the long run.
Okay, let me add this, too. What is the likelihood that a guy who's been your best overall hitter taking the mound, although it may have been something he's done in his past, but takes the mound unexpectedly, aren't you exposing him to something that he's not used to doing, which may bring in the risk of injury to him as well?
Answer is yes.
You mean Mercedes?
And you just heard it on the postgame show. Tony La Russa did mention, two things he mentioned doesn't play well into this decision. One, that he loved that his team didn't quit. All right, well, you sort of did going to your players to pitch. Two, he told Yermin. He said this in the postgame 5 minutes ago. He said, I don't want you airing it out. I don't want you getting hurt. So when you risk the injury to, like you said, with an offense that isn't showing what we thought they would be, you're taking a risk by putting him out there to pitch.
There's 162 of these. I get it. I do. It's a long season. And now you're going to face one of your top nemesises in your division. I get all that. I just thought it was a little bit weird. I just thought it felt a little bit weird to me. Now, look, I was, you know, I was a little more disappointed in what I saw from Giolito, but that's going to happen with a pitcher every now and again, even the really, really good ones. Maybe he is a guy also that his body clock is at 10-10.
Yeah.
And he's throwing a baseball. It's not something that, he's used to. That's probably, you know, he's not going to use this as an excuse, but I wonder how much it affected him.
I got to read you the tweet that Daryl Van Schoen tweeted out. I want to let's set the table here. 332-3776. It's almost a full show here. We're basically right on time. Your reaction to the White Sox going to the pen, you cool with it considering everything they've dealt with? Pitching wise, Lynn did the DL. They had a 7-2, seven inning games yesterday. They have a division opponent in the afternoon tomorrow with a 5 o'clock Chicago start. It's one game. You'd rather just not tax the bullpen even more than they have to, or were you a little like, well, we're only down six. You get a couple in the eighth. Now you're a grand slam away from tying it in the ninth inning. You didn't maybe like Mercedes pitching. A few people mentioned that. There's Cubs to discuss as well. Javi Baez turned down how much? A huge week of Hawks games coming up. We've got Eddie Olczyk joining the show at 4. We're under 2 weeks away from the Bears draft. Want to get into this. And I want to find out about this whole Super League that everyone's discussing. I don't know anything about the Super League being proposed. 332-3776. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Waddle, I don't know if I have exactly what you want.
Exactly.
But I got some pretty good stuff. I got some pretty good context regarding what a team is up against down six runs after seven innings. Our buddy Jacob Nitzberg, ESPN Stats and Info, he researched this. He said it's tougher to find if it's six or more runs. So what he has gone back to the database to research past history involving teams, and then specifically the White Sox. Now, when I say exactly what I'm not giving you is I'm not giving you this team, which is a good offensive team.
Right.
I'm giving you history. So these are all stats from trailing by exactly six runs after seven full innings, meaning you have two full at-bats left.
Mm-hmm.
This year, all right, so in this year in Major League Baseball, small sample size, when trailing by exactly six runs after seven, teams are 0-18, including today's White Sox game. Since 2000, so this goes back the last 20-plus years, teams are, listen to this, 17 and 2,837 in that situation.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
There's a chance. There's a, what, 6,000th of a percent chance, is I believe I'm reading that correctly. And in that same span, the White Sox since 2000, if I'm specifically looking at the White Sox, the White Sox are 0-94 in that span.
Now, there are a lot of, I like numbers. There are a lot of variables that admittedly can't be accounted for. Who you're playing, what pitching staff you're facing, the offensive ineptitude or accomplishment of the team that's trying to come back. Like Chris gave me the numbers as well. What was it after seven? The what is it? The win percentage, the Statcast win percentage.
Yeah. So Statcast keeps a track of win probability throughout the game and after every single out.
Right.
So you give me an out in the game and I can look it up and tell you what it says.
Right.
But basically, in the fourth inning, it was above 98%.
So this is my point. I get it. It was at 99 after seven full innings.
Yeah.
If it was 98 after four, why aren't you tapping after four?
Yeah.
Because the odds are, I mean, it's a 1% greater chance you're going to come back.
Like, let me get bottom three, J.D. Martinez. He grounded out. That was the end of the third inning.
Yeah.
And it was 97.4% in favor of the Red Sox.
So my point is like, listen, nobody's going to give up after four innings. I get that. But if we're going to use numbers, then let's use numbers with total context. I get it. there was a 1% chance or less than 1% chance the team was going to come back down six.
But you don't care about the numbers. You care about it's not about the numbers. It's about the Chicago across the chest. It's about having heart. It's about digging in and grinding.
Are you giving me TW?
I'm giving you the will to win.
The will to win, you're dropping a TW.
As soon as Mercedes came in, you're saying the will to win was gone. I'm saying, what can't Mercedes do? He can come in and only give up one run. He gave up less runs than Giolito. How about that?
By the way, we liked the Yerminator burger, too.
It was good.
They brought in Yerminator burgers from Freddy's. That was good stuff today.
For me, as soon as it became 8-1, it was second inning. That was it. That was it. Pack it up. It's an early game. You got a game tomorrow against in Cleveland. That's it.
I'm on the other side of that. Yeah.
Some days you just don't have it, man.
I know.
You want the percentage 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. You want the results of the poll? How do you think the poll question's been going? We have over 1,000 votes. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. The way I phrased it was, are you cool with pitching position players? And I put that in quotes because you're me.
Because there's more than one.
Well, and because Mercedes that was the first time he's played a position. Isn't it funny
that's right. This
is the dude who, the reason why he's not made the majors is because he didn't find a position, and now he pitches. Now his first position he plays. So I said, are you cool with pitching position players in the seventh down six runs?
I'm going to say 60% say yeah, they don't care.
55% say yeah, they don't care. Yeah. So 45% of them are with you. And like there are multiple Sox fans saying that they didn't mind it with Mendick. They did not like it with Mercedes. While this is a fun ride and it's cool to see Mercedes turn into Shohei Ohtani, both with the bat and now pitching, that they didn't love you talk about injuring your bullpen, you could injure one of your position players.
As I said earlier, I wasn't stomping my feet or slapping the table or the couch for that matter. I just thought it was like, wow, it feels a little early to do this, but like they have their explanations for it. I'm just like, if we're going to use the numbers, though, StatCast said, and I'm not making fun of Chris. I'm just echoing what he said. No, you're not in charge of StatCast.
Yeah.
No, but you were relaying it. It's 99.3%. Well, in my world, if it's 98% after the fourth inning, that's marginal. That's negligible. So you should just, I mean, at that point, why are you bringing in any of your relief pitchers?
Well, to play into your theory, though, I believe there are two Bears games this year. I think football's a little different than baseball. I believe there were two Bears games, two or three recently, where the Bears had like a less than 1% chance of winning or losing. Right. I believe it was Detroit and Atlanta. The two early games, I believe it was 99% going to the Lions and also going to Atlanta.
Now, again, there's 162 of these. There's only 16, now 17 in the NFL, but they're all meaningful. I get it. I know what Tony said. Like, they had to use their bullpen in the doubleheader yesterday. They've got the Indians tomorrow. I get all of it. It just kind of seemed weird that, like, I still, my point is I don't count this White Sox team out even down six with two at bats.
Right.
I don't. Like, if this was the Pirates, I would have set sail a long time before. But it's the White Sox. Like, my expectations for this team are very, very high. I just thought it was weird. And then Mercedes comes in. It's a fun, you know, yuck it up story, but not if he takes a line drive, you know, off his forearm or something.
I've never enjoyed the position players pitching to begin with. A lot of Cubs fans have loved this throughout the years with Rizzo and Rossi. It just usually means my team's getting their ass kicked.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm like, okay, maybe it is a little comic relief, but I haven't reveled in it like some other people have. Dan in Barrington, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Hey, Waddle, I'm with you. I thought that was bad. I also thought it was bad that La Russa was asleep at the switch again and left him in there to pitch a second inning. I thought that was not good. He did not have it today. And if something ends up happening next couple of weeks where he's not feeling good or has to miss a start, that's going to be on Tony. But I did have a question, since this team was crowned the 27 Yankees or the Big Red Machine before the season started. What I'm already really getting tired of is everyone knew this Cubs team was a 70-win team. This Sox team is supposed to win 100, 105 games. They can't be compared. Waddle, you just said it. The expectations for the Sox are sky high. So 8-9 right now is not getting it done. Abreu hitting a buck is not getting it done. Moncada being bad isn't getting it done. So it really is starting to frost me. Well, the Cubs are bad, too. Everyone knows the Cubs suck.
No, Dan, you're a Cubs fan, though, right? You're coming at them because you're a Cubs fan.
So what, Sylvie? So what?
No, well, I'm not. Look, Dan, I like you. You go hard at Cap. You're my guy. I love you for that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm Team Dan in Barrington. But I'm just saying.
That's a shot.
Believe me, I do go hard
17,
on Cap.
It's 17 games.
Cubs fans are so on edge. Dan's
what are you going to say when it's 50 games?
Oh, for sure. You know me too. Hey. I've never been a relaxed guy. If this was 8-9 with my Cubs team, I'm like, let's go. Really? If they're picked to win.
But here's one other point. The reason I go so hard at Cap is because this guy, for the last 6 months, has told us this is the big red machine. This is the 27 Yank. Get out of their way. 110 wins, World Series, greatest team ever put together. And now that this is happening, now we have to listen to the recap every day. And let's rip the Cubs. No.
Our team stinks, Dan. I know, he is. But our team does stink, Dan.
He is a Sox fan.
Okay,
Sylvie, I do love the fact, and I'm sorry that I did have to bring you into it with him that day, but I do love the fact that you did.
You don't regret that, Dan. You don't regret that.
He's a big Sox fan.
Waddle, I go back all the way with you at GN when he banned me from that show.
Oh, you're a multi-time banned guy.
I don't remember that.
Oh, no, I go back way with Waddle, and it's great rattling Kaplan's cage because he comes in every morning. Now he's got more excuses than Juan Epstein on Welcome Back, Cotter. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful day. That is an old reference.
I will say this.
Look, the Yankees are 5-10 right now. Like, my expectation level for the Sox is still way high. Prior to Giolito's start today, the White Sox starting rotation had the best VRA of any team in baseball. These bats are going to hit. Jose Abreu is definitely not locked in, but history tells you he will hit. Robert is starting to get locked in. Your guy, what's his name? The second baseman.
Madrigal.
He's playing his role really well right now.
Nicky Two Strikes, they call him, right?
Nicky Two Strikes. You know, you get Tim Anderson back. He's getting on. He's getting in the first thing. Look, this bullpen, I still have a lot of very lofty expectations for this team. I'm not down on them. They're 8-9. It's been a tough start to the season, but... like, I'm not following Dan's lead.
It's amazing. The tweets, I can't tweet about the White Sox these days without getting comments from Cubs fans who are very down. I mean, they don't like that I'm even tweeting about
very
them.
Very sensitive
fan
base.
Like, I could tweet at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday about the San Diego Chargers and Justin Herbert because they're playing. I'm not a Charger fan. Not one person would come at me. Sylvie, what are you doing tweeting about the Chargers? You a Charger fan? I am tweeting about a Chicago sports team that's on our radio station. And you would think I'm violating some major problem.
Well, when you step into the Twitter pool, you know what's in the water.
Honestly,
you jumped into a pool full of barracudas. You put your suit on, okay? You walked into the Twitter pool under your own whatever. You know what you're going to get.
All right, let's take your calls, 332-3776. So, Dan, a lit a fire. Cubs and Sox fans, I want to get to the Cubs. Javi turned down how much? We'll get to that. And what is the ideal role for Kopech? I want to ask you guys a question that I've had on my mind for the last week. All that next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
I got some Buster Olney from last night on Sunday Night Baseball talking about Javi, talking about the Cubs free agents. They spent a long time talking about Rizzo, talking about the contract situation with all their guys. 332-3776, the phone number. Welcome to everyone on Twitch. Obviously, during the Sox game, we're not up on Twitch, so a shout-out to everyone who made it a destination as soon as Sox postgame was done. Tomorrow, the pregame will begin at 4:30, a little bit early in Cleveland. But shout-out to everyone making this the destination show. You can watch us. We're both back in the studio, First Midwest Bank studio right here on State Street. If you want to also listen on the ESPN Chicago app, make sure you download it. I heard Hoodie say, what are you waiting for already? We've told you forever. On-demand pods, live shows, simple touch of the button. Tell your smart speaker as well to play ESPN 1000. Before we get to the Buster sound, I want to bring up Dean is calling in and a point that he'd like to bring to the table. Dean, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't mean to stir the pot or anything, and I'm not going to make excuses for Giolito. I mean, his change was pretty flat. But the first six hitters, if you watch the tape, they were dead on to everything he threw. Usually, if you throw a changeup, I mean, you're going to be fouling it off. I mean, you're going to have a velocity change, right? They knew everything he was throwing the first six hitters. I find it, and again, I'm looking at
it. You saying the garbage cans are back? Is that what you're saying?
Not garbage cans.
That Alex Cora's got the garbage cans going, the light in center field, perhaps?
Boston is the leading hitting in the American League right now. I find that kind of fishy as well. Just saying.
What did they do? I mean, I don't think the Red Sox were very, very powerful yesterday, were they? Like, what did the Red Sox do in two
no,
games?
No, Keuchel and Kopech, right?
Right.
Those were the two guys.
Scored, wait a second. They scored two runs, one and two runs in yesterday's doubleheader.
Look,
they scored a total of three runs.
I say this all the time about what the White Sox have done with La Russa. If you want to conduct the experiment of bringing back a guy who hasn't managed in 10 years and is 76 years old, don't complain when all of a sudden he's under the microscope. You created the experiment. I'm going to say the same thing about the Red Sox. When you choose to rehire the guy who is strongly implicated in the Houston Astros cheating scandal, and wasn't he and Beltran the leaders?
Think so.
In that clubhouse when he was the bench coach? When you do that, you make your own bet.
No doubt.
You have to live with it for the rest of your life.
With that said, to me, pitching expert, it looked like his changeup was up in the zone.
Yeah.
He wasn't spotting his fastball. He just looked like one of those days where one of the best in the game didn't have his good stuff.
Yeah. Len and DJ, I was listening to them at this point. They mentioned a lot about him missing his spots. Len was talking a lot about the 0-2. Often he got ahead 0-2 and then he would make a mistake with a two-strike pitch.
Like, these guys are all professionals. I mean, 95, everyone's throwing 95 now. I would think that the key to being one of the better pitchers in baseball is not only changing speeds, but the location of that fastball and where you're putting it. And he has been surgical with the delivery of his fastball over the course of his first few starts.
Yeah.
It looked very average today, and over the course of 32, 33, 34 starts in a season, you're going to have days like today, I assume.
All right, so I want to play you
this.
Unless
you're Bieber.
Unless you're
Bieber, and then you're not.
Yeah.
You're not.
Did he shut down your team, too, yesterday?
Yeah.
He's like,
he's crazy.
Super roll.
I think it was a record for most consecutive 10 strikeouts, or he joined.
Yeah, he's on a strikeout heater right now.
Every start he's made this year, he's had at least double-digit strikeouts.
This is from Sunday Night Baseball last night. It was one same thing. Hendricks and Giolito, right? That's money in the bank. Hendricks had been off for a long time. So remember, he had they feared if he had COVID, and it turned out to be allergies, but you got to be extra cautious. And so he starts for the first time in several days, and the next thing you know, he's allowing four home runs.
I think the time of the game was mixed up because it felt like batting practice. Like, maybe they got screwed up. Like,
Freeman lifts off.
Yeah.
And that one's well gone. Oh, my goodness.
I wasn't even settled in at this point.
This is a little cutter that never cut. 87 miles an hour in.
Listen,
didn't quite get it in enough on the 3-1 pitch.
Breaking it down.
Just a perfect swing.
Ball and a strike to Darno. One for his last 13 at the plate.
Still
Darno swings and sends the ball well hit to left. Oh. And that one's gone.
I still wasn't watching at this point. I'm
really?
Still like, I'm
3-0 Atlanta.
You know,
what are you doing?
One out
kids
into the night.
Crazy. Oh, yeah.
Three
we got
ball
kids.
Counts to four
six
of the
o'clock
first
start.
Six batters Hendricks has faced. In the air to right. That one's well
TV
hit. Hayward's
right
going to watch this
in.
One fly.
As the ball's leaving
three
the yard.
Three Atlanta
the
long
one.
Balls in the top of the first. A three-homer inning now.
And then that was like,
actually
what?
Happened to him on four occasions.
Whoa!
Three-homer inning, that is. And there's a drive to deep center field, and that one's gone. Santa Maria, four homers in the inning.
And Matty, we talked about it, all four home runs, glove side here. There it is, coming back, middle, in another explosion.
Same game. Last two games in the last 24 hours, from the Cubs game last night to the Sox game, Giolito and Hendricks, that you just don't expect them to cost their team the game early.
You're not part of that. You're not. I know you're not. But there's still a group out there that when they win that game against the Brewers with Willie hitting the home run after getting hit four times, and then they win 3-2, that feels like, all right, you just open the door. They're gonna walk right in. And then the Saturday game where it was a fight in their dugout to get to a bat, to get to the dish, to hit against Braves pitching. You're like, all right, here we go. We just lit it up. Now it's go time. Like, there are still some, and I think there's one
who,
on our text
is there,
chain.
No, who?
I think
who?
So.
Merck's playing a role.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think so.
Merck's playing a role.
I don't think so.
Merck thought they were going to come back yesterday. Here's a situation with the Cubs. I know they can score 13 runs in a game. They can do that as well as they score one run in a game. This has been the same story since 18. Shame on you if you're a believer,
yeah,
like Waddle. Like Waddle was suggesting, not like Waddle, but like Waddle was saying, that you think a 13-run game is going to turn them around. What I need to see is when the other team scores five, you can score six. What I need to see is when the other team scores four, you can score five. I need to win some of these. They can do the 11-run, 12-run, 13-run game. They can do the 0, the 1, the 2. What this team cannot do is on a daily basis hit consistently enough to score 4, 5, or 6 runs.
When they get out on that lake or that ocean and the wind's at their back and it's blowing early and it's propelled you fast and straight, like, they are the best in the business.
So I want to get to this Buster stuff. And I want to ask you this question when we return. I'll play it for you. How much money do you ultimately believe that Javi Baez cost him himself in a year? If anything, maybe you don't. Maybe you think he'll make it all up. 332-3776.
Baseball season's now in full swing, but you didn't even start your spring training yet, did you? You could still lose those pandemic pounds and get slimmer for this summer, since it only takes 40 days to lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds.
Are you talking to me about this?
I am, with NJ Diet. NJ Diet's program starts with bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, your saliva, and your blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to create your ideal diet and workout regimen to help you keep those pounds off. Don't want to do it alone? Well, NJ Diet is with you every step of the way. You will be fully monitored by their certified staff to make sure you are burning fat and not just losing water. You'll also get the doctor's personal email and phone number.
Oh.
NJ Diet is all natural. No shots, no hormones, no surgery. NJ Diet is available from the comfort of your own home with live online video consultations or in a location close by in Skokie. Call today, 855-5-NJ-DIET. That's 855-5-NJ-DIET. Or go to njdiet.com and lose the weight for good. That's njdiet.com.
It's a lot better than the 10 Zoom meetings you've been on today.
This may take a couple of days, maybe more.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000 and listen to Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
It's always been a pet peeve of mine when you can't get a hold of your own doctor. You know, when you got one of those doctors who you go through, you got to connect through North Shore Connect. Connect me through the Northwestern one. I have good doctors now, like the people in cancer medicine. You could text them. They give you their number.
You looking for a concierge doctor?
I'm looking for a response. That's it. It's not to sound old, I mean, but you know, like, have you ever gotten this where you call the doctor who's on call because you have a question, and the doctor on call is annoyed at you that he actually has to call you at 6:30 in the evening? I'm sorry. Look, you're on call. I didn't tell you what to do. This is what this is part of your job. You're on call.
Sounds like you had a rough experience.
I have. I've been scarred by this. I don't know. Like, I think you could get. There are some doctors who are harder to get in touch with than Brad Pitt. Then, like, if you wanted to find Tom Hanks and you get his number and get in touch with him, you could probably get in touch with. You've never had this experience. Like, you have Dr. Bauer is awesome. Like, and when you know people, it's great. And I don't have as much of the issue now because of what I just went through. But back in the day, yeah. Oh, yeah. Send me an email. Well, I did a week ago. Still haven't heard anything from you guys. It sits with me raw. I know.
It's a rough ride.
But I digress. That's
I want my medical analysis, yes. And I want it now.
Yeah, I mean, come on now. What do you got?
I got a tickle in my throat. I got a little snot coming down one of my nostrils. Well, doctor, what do I have?
Is there a doctor in the house? Call us back.
Not now. We don't need you now.
This is Javi Baez, or this is talk about Javi Baez and the Cubs free agency candidates. Yesterday, Sunday Night Baseball, A-Rod, along with Buster Olney, discussing specifically here, they'll go to Baez. Take a listen.
Buster, who's the one guy you think they keep if they have to keep one? They have a lot of great options across the board.
I think it's most likely that they would find a way to get middle ground with Anthony Rizzo. His negotiations remind me a little bit where the Braves are with Freddie Freeman, where I think there's a desire in the organization to keep him. They weren't close in their talk this spring, but you wonder if market forces will push them together. Javier Baez, before the 2020 season, turned down, this is pre-COVID, turned down an offer somewhere in the range of $180 million. Hard to imagine they'll be able to find a middle ground on that deal. Chris Bryant, represented by Scott Boras, his clients almost always go into free agency.
Are you thinking 6 for $180 at $30 million a year? Are you thinking 7 for $180? What are we thinking then?
Yeah, I think 30 is still steep, even pre-COVID, maybe 7.
So remember, he also said this is what he turned down. So pre-COVID, are you thinking that the Cubs may have offered him $30 million a year? That's...
How much money do you believe he has lost, if anything? Do you think he'll make this eventually up when he hits the free agent market? Or did he cost himself a ton of money?
Well, I mean, factor in the value of time, too, because if he would have taken the, he was saying 2019?
No, 2020, this was spring training before COVID hits, remember?
Okay.
Weren't we taught, and Jesse's got more on this at 5. But I believe, didn't Jesse think they were close in late February, early March last year?
So what you would have been is you would have been paid in 2020, albeit on a percentage basis, based on the number of games you played. You'd have been being paid at a higher rate than he is now, having not signed the deal. I don't see him signing a deal that's more than $20 million a year, do you?
Probably not.
So 7 for 140? 150 maybe? 7 for 150?
I'm sort of out on Javi right now. I am.
I agree with Buster that, again, I said it a long time ago, I believe now. I think they get the Rizzo deal down because at the end of the year, Rizzo's numbers will be what they always are. And the total value of the contract is going to be significantly less than what the other two guys are looking for.
Now, maybe this is a shame on me because I would turn down Javi at 20 when you thought you'd be paying 25 to 30. But right now, the problem is he's not a good baseball player. So until he shows me something, and he's really got to get hot for me and look like the guy who didn't care, didn't have a care in the world, you know, good slide, good tag, good hit, good field, all that stuff. But now he looks like he's got the weight of the world. He looks like a man who turned down $180 million, doesn't he? Doesn't he look like a man who gets out of bed thinking to himself, what did I do? A year ago, I turned down $180 million. Because he is not that same guy that he had been for the Cubs the last couple of years before in 19, in 18.
I never get the impression that Javi is tight or is playing tight. I think he still always plays with a flair. He's taken one walk against 27 strikeouts so far this year. I mean, his undisciplined nature at the plate. Look, I think I heard Jesse talking with Jay Hood today about, I think Jesse talked, and like you said, we'll talk to Jesse at 5 today. Jesse talked to a coach or a scout or someone in the league, and he confirmed what we thought. They're the easiest team in Major League Baseball, some of them, to game plan for. To the easiest right-handed hitters to actually game plan for because of their tendencies, and they never break their tendencies. Like, his lack of discipline at the plate is unmatched at this moment.
My point is, what's the difference if you're paying him 25 or 20? Like, is he good right now?
Not right now.
So,
no.
I mean,
you're not paying anything for this version of Javi Baez.
Everything's on hold here. Well, you know what? Well, you do your thing, we'll do our thing. And like, you've said it before on the show. You've said it off the air to us a lot of times. Maybe the biggest break they got is that they didn't sign any of them.
No, it very well could be. Again, I look at 2020 in a lot of ways, and it doesn't carry a ton of weight for me because I think you can look at a lot of guys that didn't excel, and there were so many variables that you have to factor in. 2019, you know, that's a Javi year. 29 bombs, 85 driven in. He strikes out 156 times. He hits 280. He's on base 315. His WAR is a 4.8. I mean, that's $20 million a year.
Yes,
2019,
that guy.
That's 20 for sure. Yeah, that's yes. 20, 25
He's
million
He's not
a year.
That guy, though, now. Like I said, he looks like a guy knowing that he flushed money down the
Could
toilet.
Be. I mean, and again, last year is such a difficult period of time for me to actually evaluate completely because of all of the change and the distraction and everything that was involved. But yeah, you may get to the trade deadline this year and he may not be worth much in a trade, and he may not be somebody you even want to re-up.
Something I want to ask Jesse at 5, what I want to know regarding some of these players. We know that if they're not in it, that they're going to trade Chris Bryant at the deadline or before the deadline. They probably will do that with Javi. Rizzo may be a different story. I want to know what they do with Wilson Contreras. Because like you, Darvish, here you have a guy who isn't on his final year, who you could be selling from a strength. He's one of the few guys who has good numbers right now. He's batting 273. His on-base percentage is .400. His slug is .614. So you're dealing from an advantage. What would they do with Willie? That's what I want to know. Because that's another guy that you can get maybe something more for. 332-3776. Something weird going on in sports, something that we don't normally talk about, but piqued my interest. And I want to know what the hell a Super League is. That's in 2 short minutes.